This morning I'd like to speak to you on the subject of unity. And I want to do that on the basis of the Word of God in the letter to the Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 3. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Unity is a very great and wonderful possession. It means that people have the same mind, the same spirit, the same beliefs, the same good desires. All of this ties them together in a wonderful family of God. Now, in the history of our own country, when we went through the period of the Great Civil War, we found there the opposite. There, even brothers were on the opposite side. Families were split apart. And there remained, even for many years, and even some today, of a remnant of the hatred that existed among the members of the same family, really, who were citizens of the same nation. So it could be described then as a house divided. Now it is a great gift of God that house divided is not a way to talk about the Holy Christian Church. The Christian Church is a creation of God. He brought together those who believe in salvation through Christ Jesus on the cross. And those who do that are a member of the family of God. And they are the Holy Christian Church. And that church has existed through the ages and will continue to exist through all eternity. Now, we confess the Holy Ghost, whose sweet grace and comfort giveth, and with the Father and the Son in eternal glory liveth, who the Church, his own creation, keeps in unity of spirit. So believers all over the world may be divided by distance. They may be even divided by politics. They may be divided by all matters of health and income, wealth, prosperity, all of that. But they are truly united by the Holy Ghost in the one true faith. Now, we call that the invisible church. It's not invisible to God. It's invisible to us. Because what unites these people is faith. And we can't see faith. But we believe it's there because God says it is. There is also what we call the visible church. And that's what we have here. People who have gathered around the Word of God and they hear it. And to those people, the Apostle Paul writes, make every effort to keep the unity that you have. So what are we to do? The same Apostle Paul wrote two different letters that cover the subject just beautifully. You know, in my Bible, they're about two pages apart, even though two separate books. In his letter to the Corinthian Christians, he says, I beseech you that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you. And to the Romans, he says what this might amount to something you have to do, when again, using that same word, I beseech you, he says, watch out. Take note of those who are teaching contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. So what does God want us to do? To cling to his word, to learn his word, to follow his word. That's the key to unity. And to avoid those whom you have noted do not follow the Word of God and deny it in part, or perhaps even in whole. Now that is to be united. And what about those who are united as we are in that way? The kingdom which is being set up by our Lord is not a kingdom of this world. Jesus himself made that very clear when he said to Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. The kingdom will come to its true visibility to everyone when our Lord Jesus returns. When he comes to the earth, we call that Judgment Day. It is a glorious day in which all believers in Christ will rise from the grave, and those who are still alive will be called together, and there they will stand revealed to one another, and they will spend an eternity in joy. Now that's why we gather as Christians, that we may take that message and take it as far abroad as we possibly can. The Lord wants us to go into all the world to preach that gospel to everyone to whom we are able. So our prayer is that we may do that, so that we may truly enjoy the unity God gives. Let's conclude with hymn number 235, stanzas 3 and 6.